Well, guess what? I get to share God's word this morning, and I'm so happy and thrilled to be here with you. I'm happy to see also Jeffrey, Michelle, and Liz. You know, it's just always great to see you guys. And so today we're going to talk about each Christian's inheritance and reward. Okay, does that sound good?
Yeah.
So I got to turn this on here. So the topic of this morning is each Christian's inheritance and reward. You know, in our Western culture, it's different than in the lands and times of the Bible, right? And, you know, when we think of an inheritance, we think of the U.S. dollar, you know? I mean, come on. I mean, sure, you know, it could be a house or something else, but, you know, if you're blessed enough to have an inheritance, you know, but you actually do have an inheritance, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But when in the lands and times of the Bible, you know, their inheritance was land. You know, in the book of Joshua, you can read about each tribe was given land, right? Except for the tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi, their inheritance was the Lord God himself, right? But the other tribes and Joseph's two sons, they got their inheritance was land. And so, you know, with Israel, each tribe was given land except Levi. But our inheritance is, I want to look at the Christian's inheritance today. So look at Romans chapter 10. A section that is so familiar to each of you. This is going to be fun. So Romans 10 verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the what? Dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Is not going to be put to shame by disappointed expectation. You know, you can rest assured we will not be disappointed in our expectation. Isn't that fantastic? Look at Ephesians 1. And, you know, it's such a simple requirement. You know, you just have two parts to it. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And you are saved. You are born again. You are a child of God. You are a Christian. What a lofty position that is for whosoever will may come. And each Christian gets what we're going to be reading about today. So, really something. Ephesians 1, we're going to verse, I got to get there myself. It's great to be a Christian. You know, there's nothing like it. You know, it's the most fantastic thing in the whole world. Happy Father's Day, God. You know? I get to be his son, his child, you know? And it's so easy to do that. It's so very easy to do that. And it's only because of, like Jeffrey prayed, but because of his grace that we get to be what we are in Christ. But Ephesians 1, verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. You know, God has a plan, you know, and you are part of that plan. Each and every Christian is. I am part of that plan. He knows what he's doing. Having made known unto us, oh, I already said that in the dispensation or administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Won't that be a great day? All Christians are gathered together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained a what?
An inheritance.
An inheritance. wow, finally, I get an inheritance. And this inheritance, you're not going to be disappointed. I'm not going to be disappointed in my expectation of this inheritance. We've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God knows what he's doing. And it's going to happen like he says it's going to happen. That we should be to the praise of his glory, which first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What an important thing, right? Just to hear. Just think about the first time you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. How important is that, you know, to know, which is the deposit. This word earnest is the arabone, and it means a token, it means a deposit, it means a down payment. We as Christians are bought with a price, and God has given a down payment, and that down payment is Holy Spirit. How wonderful is that to know? And, you know, with just like it's a legitimate commercial term, you know, when you buy a house or you buy, you know, you put together a down payment. But the down payment, it's not the final payment. It's not the only payment. In fact, it's just a little bit of what is to come, right? And us Christians, when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God, the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we get that down payment. We get that Holy Spirit. And it's just a little taste of what is to come. Isn't that wonderful? There is a greater matter to come, and that's our inheritance. And all that's associated with that. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. And this is part of our hope. You know, it's part of our wonderful hope. And there's not enough time today to talk about all of that. But we'll be talking about that next week in our summer school. So, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 48, it says, I got to get there myself. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy, and as the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot do what? Inherit. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what?
Changed.
How fantastic. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, those that are alive at the time of the gathering together. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so on. So I'd like to read the whole thing because I love it so much. But, you know, Israel inherited land. Each Christian's inheritance is in heaven itself, in the kingdom of God. You know, Israel's place was, you know, their inheritance was where they dwell. Well, where are we going to dwell? We're going to be in heaven itself, in the kingdom of God. How wonderful is that? When we are changed. When we are changed. Flesh and blood cannot inherit. Cannot inherit. Right? So, we don't have it yet. But it is, we've got a down payment. And that is a wonderful thing. Right? We've got a down payment, and every time you hear yourself manifest, every time you hear somebody else manifest, you know they have the token. You know they have the down payment. you know they have the inheritance. Awesome. So look at 1 Peter. Let's go there. You know, knowing that I was actually God's kid for the first time, knowing that I was, that I actually made it, that I was saved, it's such a comfort to your soul, isn't it? It's the most important decision a person can ever make. And when you know you have it, you know, it's tremendous. Look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy," look at that, "hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to a what? An inheritance." To an inheritance. Okay, I'll take it, right? Why would somebody not take it? To an inheritance, incorruptible. It's what? Incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved, where? In heaven, for who? Me too. I mean, this is just, you read these verses and you're just so thankful, right? Reserved in heaven for you. Our inheritance is reserved. It fades not away. You can't mess it up. Despite, you know, wrong teaching to the contrary. Look at Colossians. We better keep going. Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into his kingdom by way of his dear Son." How fantastic. He's made each Christian adequate to inherit, to be partakers of the inheritance. Think about that for a few years, right? Because, you know, our minds like to talk ourselves out of it, right? And this is for each Christian. Do you have to be a Baptist?
No.
Do you have to be a Catholic? Do you have to be anything other than a Christian? No. Right? That's awesome. Look at, none of us could have accomplished any of this on our own, right? Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace are ye saved, through believing, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, we're going to talk about works today, as you'll see, but it's important to remember that it's by grace that we're saved. It's by grace that we have salvation. It's by grace that we have an inheritance that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and me and any Christian. God has made us adequate. You know, we can't make ourselves adequate. That in itself is refreshing. Look at 1 Corinthians, verse 15. 15. Verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored, I worked more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You know, I haven't been around a whole bunch of people. I've lived here only 36 years. But I've been around one man and one woman who has worked and showed me how to work, you know. And that's Reverend and Mrs. Earl Burton. You know, this the Apostle Paul, he worked. And it was because of the grace of God that he did it. You know, it wasn't because he had to. It wasn't because he had to work for salvation or work for an inheritance. You know, it was because of the grace of God that he had received, right? So look, this is another interesting section. Look at First Corinthians 3. We're going to be in Corinthians here a bit, because I wanted to talk about each Christian's inheritance and reward. And so we're getting into the reward part. We already have an inheritance, but there's something else. And you can see in the Apostle Paul, he labored because of the grace of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gives the increase. You know, it's up to God to give the increase, right? It's up to each person to plant, to water. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So there's labor involved. You know, it takes work to do things. It takes work. And look at what a verse says. And this word reward is mistos, and it means wage or compensation. So for the work done, right? That's what that word reward means. It's a wage. It's a payment. It's a compensation for work done. For good work done. Look at what it says in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is the only foundation. That is the work that we are to do, to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. And that's that same word, mistos. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. So, we are Christians, are bought with a price. We have an inheritance that fadeth not away. We have been accepted. So, in the context of that, there's work that can be done. We can be laborers together with God. We can build on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And there is no other foundation to build on. And if any man builds, you know, the Corinth church, they were building on the, you know, works that were wood, hay, stubble, a lot of them, right? Is that work building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? No. And you can read about in Corinthians what they were doing. They were preaching another gospel. They are causing division. They were not keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. They were not recognizing that there's one body and Christ is the head, right? They were doing all those things, right? And they were doing a lot of other things, right? That work is wood, hay, and stubble, and the fire is figurative in that there's going to be a time when every man's work will be tried and it will be determined whether it's acceptable for a reward or a compensation or not. Acceptable or unacceptable. Do you think that causing division was going to be an award that they were going to get? God was going to give them a wage? No. Do you think that speaking God's wonderful word of salvation to somebody, do you think that that matters? That God is going to give a labor that's working together with him a wage at the bema of Christ? Yes, right? What about loving one another? What about praying? What about all the work that's required to be laborers together with God? God remembers each man's work and each woman's work of, and it's not, that does not determine salvation. It does not determine your inheritance or mine. It just determines whether or not compensation will be made or not. Romans 4:4. And you can look at, so Romans 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. What this means is the work is not counted as a gift but as his due. A workman who works is not counted as a gift but as his due. God wants to repay. God wants to reward people for their work that is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's God's desire, you know, to repay. It's God's desire to compensate. You know, a lot of Christians say, well, I don't need any compensation. I'm just really happy that I'm here, you know, that I'm saved, that I have eternal life. And, you know, that's very well and good, and I think that myself, you know. But according to God's word, a workman is worthy of his hire. A workman is going to get compensated. And that's part of the hope, too. And then there's the other side. Well, I'm saved by grace. I can do anything I want, and I don't have to do nothing. True. But you're not going to have a lot of compensation. You're going to be saved. You're going to have an inheritance. You know, all the wonderful things that God's word says. But there is another piece to this. So 1 Corinthians 3. I was just there, I think. 1 Corinthians 3. So a lot of Christians, many Christians mix these words up, you know. Salvation is by grace, not of works. Inheritance, we have it. It fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Being a laborer together with God is something different. And the works associated with that will be rewarded, will be compensated. 1 Corinthians 3. And, you know, God sees. He knows. He knows what we all do. We're not trying to work to get our way to heaven. You know, we're already there. We already have an inheritance. But we can certainly work together with God for him. In whatever area we're at. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, 6. Again, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Now, I wanted to, this word, verse 8 is the word reward, wage, compensation. Verse 9, we're laborers together with God. And it's to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's not to tear down. That's what the Corinth church was doing. You know, it's not to tear down, it's to build on that foundation. With love, with prayer, with believing, with speaking the word, that kind of thing. And it says every man's work. It doesn't say every man's sin. Right? It says every man's work, not sin. God is not counting your sins. You know, we have been forgiven. You think about the Apostle Paul, how he, by the grace of God, I am what I am, he worked. Well, do you think that pulling saints out of houses and committing them to prison, do you think that work was going to get rewarded? Is God going to compensate the Apostle Paul for that? No, but that doesn't mean Paul isn't saved. That doesn't mean he doesn't have an inheritance, right? He does. And there's plenty of work he did do once he got it, you know, once he got it. So, 1 Timothy 5. So it's nice to know that God sees, he knows, he's not counting your sins, not counting mine, it's by grace, but we can work together with him. First, to move his cause, to build on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. I got to get to Timothy. Quit talking. So 1 Timothy verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, rather, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor. Labor is that same word, in the word and doctrine. So there's labor associated with that, right? There's labor to learn it, and there's labor to do it. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. Mistos, the same word. Labor is worthy of his compensation, of his wage. God sees and God knows. Look at Romans 12. Am I doing okay on time? Thank you, Chris. Glad we talked about that beforehand. Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. We don't have the same function in the body of Christ. None of us do. Is the work just as important, though? Yes. Whatever it is, if it's refreshments, if it's whatever it is, cleaning the floor, teaching the word, it's work. You know, it's labors together with God. And if you approach work that way, you know, with the love of God, you will be blessed. You will be blessing others in whatever area you're at. And, you know, there's people online that are in all these different areas. Well, we all have work to do. We all have work to do to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And God sees and God knows. Not everybody has to see. Not everybody has to know what goes on. Only God can do that. Which reminds me. 1 Corinthians 12. Well, let's go there first. I wanted to hit that too. We could read this whole part, but you know, every member is important in the body of Christ. Every member is a member in particular, right? And God has set the members in the body as it has pleased Him. Not anybody else. Him. So, it's God's show. You know, And so, what did I say, 1 Corinthians 12? I am not keeping up today. Chapter 12, verse 18. But now, if God set in the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Okay. So, you know, this is a nice section to read. We're not going to read it today. I got too much left here. So, but that's the point. So look at 1 Corinthians 4. You can rest assured that God has put you in the body of Christ for a reason. Every member is a member in particular. Every member is important. God needs everybody. Isn't that great? To be needed, to be wanted, to be in God's family. And what we need to be careful of is not do what the Corinth church did in so many records of building on wood, hay, and stubble. You know, the wood, hay, and stubble is going to be tried by fire figuratively, and that those works will be unacceptable. You know, and you can read Corinthians and pick out what was wood, hay, stubble. You know, you can also, you know, what was the other one that was the good works, what was the, I'm trying to remember what it is. Anyway, those can't be burned. You know, the other ones could not be burned. We can go back there, but First Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment or man's day. Yea, I judge not my own self. That's a pretty good way to live. Honestly, right? That's the Apostle Paul talking. I judge not my own self. And it, by the way, it's a very, very, very small, teeny little thing to be judged by you. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Amen. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. You know, we're not to judge one another. We're not even to judge our own self. You know what we're supposed to do? We're going to look at that. So what should we do? Oh, wait, I wanted to, yeah, what should we do? Well, we should love God. Check. Love each other. Check. We should serve God in whatever capacity we have the ability to serve him in, right? Because we all are important. And that work God sees and God knows, and you will be compensated for that work. People may not compensate you for that work. Doesn't say people are going to compensate you or see it even, you know? But we should love God and each other. We should serve God in whatever capacity we can. We all can pray. We all can be thankful. We all can love each other, you know, one another. Treat each other right, like brothers and sisters in Christ, which we are, right? So Colossians, verse chapter 3. I'm going to wrap up a few more sections here. I think I'm okay. I didn't think I was going to get through this. Guess I'm going to. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Thankfulness is such a big deal. You know, that's building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, loving your brother is building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Speaking God's word is teaching God's word. You know, praying, all that. So, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, reverencing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing, how can I do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men? Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward, mistos, of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Isn't that fantastic? So fantastic. Look at Ephesians 6. Verse 5. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Isn't that terrific? Doing the will of God with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, look at this, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Isn't that fantastic? And we didn't, you know, I meant to talk about the Bema of Christ, and that's where it happens and all that. I just ran out of time, but we're going to receive of the Lord whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, are we saved by grace? Yes. Do we have an inheritance that fadeth not away?
Yes.
Can we sit and do nothing?
Yes.
Sure. Or we can be laborers together with God. We can build on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We can try to avoid the traps that the Corinth church did. Look at Hebrews 6. No Christian has a right to judge another Christian. Only the Lord is going to do that, you know. And you don't even have the right to judge your own self. What we can do is do our best every day to be in this family of God and love one another and serve God and wherever we are. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of what?
Love.
It's got to be done in love. It's got to be done in love. Not out of obligation, but love. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Do you think that that's work that will be compensated? Absolutely. Do you think that's work that'll be acceptable? Absolutely. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And, you know, it continues that we could read more. But look at Hebrews 10, 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's what we can do that. We can encourage one another to love, and we can encourage one another to good works. But it's not good works for salvation. It's not good works for our inheritance. which it fades not away, reserved in heaven for us, right? Isn't that fantastic to know that, man? So 1 Corinthians 15, we'll close there. First Corinthians 15. I always forget to look at the camera. So, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Don't let anybody talk you out of God's word and what you received as the token, the down payment for your inheritance. Be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There is work to do, but it's not to be saved. It's not to have an inheritance. It's because we already do, right? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's each and every Christian's opportunity to not only receive all that God has given to them, but also to serve God. Labor as a laborer together with Him. And always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because at that day, works that have been built on the foundation of Jesus Christ will be rewarded. They'll be compensated. And so, and God sees and God knows. And each woman has the opportunity to serve in the capacity that they can in the body of Christ. They don't have to be anybody else. They can be themselves and still serve. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for putting us in your wonderful family on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. And we are certainly happy children, that we love you, God, that we are in your family, and we do have salvation and all the things that your word says, including an inheritance in heaven that fades not away, reserved in heaven for us. Father, it's a joy and privilege to be in this family and to live in this grace time of grace where we can have so much because your Son accomplished so much. And we're thankful and we praise you this day. And the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.